Good morning. And a very warm welcome to everyone. And my goodness, it's warm today, isn't it? What a difference a week can make. It's lovely to see you all in church, and particularly lovely to have the Sinclair family back with us. We're delighted to have you back in our midst. A number of intimations, most of them are on the printed order of service. A big plug for next week's big brekkie. Come on down at 9:45 to 10:45 in the large hall, and we can all have great fun sharing breakfast together and having a good chat, and also raising money for Christian Aid. I'll speak a wee bit more about that later in the service, but it's always a really good thing to have breakfast together. Our Kirk session will meet on Wednesday, this Wednesday, the 15th, at 7 o'clock in the small hall. You'll see the other details about training courses, and I have two other intimations. As you know, we have a small Christian meditation group in our church meeting on a Saturday morning. Well, Saturday, the 8th of June, there is a day meeting in Edinburgh, a Christian meditation day. So I'll leave that out for anyone who's interested in that. And also just a quick note that there won't be a meeting this Saturday because there's a funeral at 10 o'clock. And tomorrow evening, there's an introductory taster session to leading prayer in public worship organized by our presbytery. And it's to be held in Kirkton Parish Church tomorrow evening from 7 till 8:30. I've got a couple of spare posters there, so if anybody's interested at all, feels the Spirit moving you that maybe you could be one of a wee team who would occasionally lead prayers in church, then it would be a great opportunity to come along to that, although I am leading part of it. So, and just another wee reminder about the Guild outing. Saturday the 29th of June, the Guild are going to Dundee and Broughty Ferry. And get your names in soon, otherwise there might not be any seats left in the bus. You've seen that we've got our white ribbons on the front fence, and this was, I can't remember if it was 1 week or 2 weeks ago that we did it now. Was it just last week?
Last week.
It was just last week.
It's been That's
right, because you were standing outside and getting absolutely frozen. And why couldn't it have been this week? Well, it's been lovely to drive up and down the village and see the white ribbons and know that we are thinking of the people in Sri Lanka. But what I'd like to ask you all to do today is to take a ribbon home with you and tie it on your own fence, so that instead of it all just being focused on the church, people throughout the village will see that people are thinking of Sri Lanka. So take a ribbon with you when you leave today, and hang it on your own fence or gate or wherever you can. I think these are all the intimations. Anyone want to remind me of anything I've forgotten? Because there might well be. No. Christian Aid Week. That's the one thing, of course. Cake sale down in the main hall after the service. And I'm assured they've got gluten-free cakes as well as gluten-full cakes, so there'll be something for everybody. Well worth going to see that. We are here in Christian Aid Week to worship God. God is love. We are all his beloved children, and we're only able to love because he first loved us. And isn't it wonderful to have Jacob with us this morning, shouting from the back row there. Jacob knows that God loves him, and it's great to have him in church. So don't worry if he shouts. We just love hearing him. God's love is a perfect love, and it drives out any fears that we might have. One of the most well-known psalms is what we're going to open our service with today, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So let's stand and sing praise to God, our shepherd. Glory be to God the Father, hymn 110. So we started off with "The Lord is my shepherd." I wonder what you all know about shepherds and what do they do in their work. I know some of you live on a farm. Yes. They look after sheep. Yeah, that's a good one. Harris.
If the sheep run away, they have massive sticks and they grab the leg.
If the sheep run away, they have massive massive sticks, they're called a shepherd's crook, aren't they? And they grab them by the leg. And then what happens?
They get pulled back.
The sheep falls down and then they can get hold of them and then they can bring them back. Yeah, good one, Harris. Yes, Rowan, did you have your hand up as well?
No,
I thought you did. What else do they have to do for the sheep? Do sheep get hungry? So what do the shepherds do?
Feed them.
They feed them, don't they, Andrew? Have you ever helped feeding the sheep?
Not before.
No. Maybe when you're a wee bit older, then you'll get to help feed the sheep. And what about when the sheep have babies? What do we call a baby sheep? Oh, that was quick, Rowan.
A baby lamb.
A baby lamb, yeah. Do the shepherds have anything to do then? Oh, Jacob knows. Yeah, you're telling me. The shepherds keep a close eye on the sheep when they're having lambs which is why there's a few folk that haven't been in church very much recently, because they're busy with the lambing, and they work all round the clock, keeping an eye on the sheep to make sure the sheep don't get into difficulties. And if they do, sometimes again they need the shepherd's crook, because sheep can be very silly creatures. And even if they're having difficulty lambing, when you go to help them, they run away instead of stopping and saying, "Yes, please help me." So the shepherd has to be very fit and run after them and catch them. So anything else that we can think of that a shepherd does? I think we've covered most of it. Yes, Katie? You've forgotten. Well, if you remember, you put your hand up again and tell me, Katie. Yes, Rowan?
They feed a cow.
They feed cows sometimes as well. Yeah, they do. So they don't mind who they feed. So our psalm said, "The Lord is my shepherd." So I wonder how what we know about a shepherd and sheep translates into what the Lord Jesus does for us. I'll tell you one thing. In these days, when the shepherd's rounding up the sheep, does he go on foot? What does he ride on? A horse. Oh, well, maybe in some countries they ride on horses. I haven't seen many folk rounding up sheep on a horse here. It's a quad bike, isn't it? You not see them zooming around the fields on their quad bikes? Yeah, it looks great fun. Yes, Rowan?
I've got a quad bike.
You've got a quad bike? Wow, you're a lucky boy. I hope you're very careful on it. You got it for Christmas. Wow. And your daddy's got a real one. Yeah, yeah. Does he ever take you on it?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Lucky you. But you see, in Jesus' day, they didn't have any quad bikes. So the shepherds, when Jesus was around, had smaller flocks of sheep. And the sheep knew Jesus, knew the shepherd's voice. And I've actually seen in the Holy Land a shepherd walking along, often with a crook, and the sheep are all following him. And he just needs to call, and they all follow him. And he knows every single sheep by name.
They've got the spots.
Some of them have got spots.
Like the red and blue, what? And yellow.
Red and blue and yellow spots. On the sheep, on their back. Yeah, that's when they've been tupped, isn't it? So that we know when they're going to have their baby lambs. We're getting very technical here. I don't think they had that in Jesus' time either. But yeah, the shepherds in Jesus' time would call their sheep by name. So can I remember all your names this morning?
No.
You think not? Is this a competition? Well, I'll start with Jacob Drew, because I know him. He's very recognizable. And I know Blair, but you're not really a child anymore, are you? And we've got two islands here, which I usually get wrong. Aaron and Lewis. Yeah, I got it right for once. And Katie and Andrew and Harris and Rowan.
Rowan,
sorry. I'm remembering the tree from last week, which is called a Rowan tree. But you're Rowan, yeah. And Ewan. Right. Any others that I've missed out? So who said that I couldn't do it? Rowan, do you not have any confidence in me remembering names? You're probably right, because usually I forget them. But the wonderful thing about Jesus is that he is our shepherd, and he knows every single one of us by name. And if we learn to follow him, to listen to his voice, then he'll lead us into joy. We'll go out into the world just so full of joy, because we know how much Jesus loves us. So we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing a song, and I'll tell you a wee bit about the song when we've prayed. We ready to pray together? Loving, living God, we thank you that you are our shepherd. And like all the shepherds in the country around, you care for each and every one of us. You watch over us. You feed us. You help us in times of difficulty. And if we get lost, you find us and bring us back. Lord, we thank you for being our shepherd. And so we pray in the names, in the words that Jesus taught us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Great. I love hearing you saying the Lord's Prayer together. It's wonderful. So the song we're going to sing is one that we usually sing at the end of a service because it's about going out. And I thought, you often miss singing it, and it's a lovely song. It's called You Shall Go Out with Joy and Be Led Forth in Peace. And that's what Jesus does for us if we let him be our shepherd and we follow him. But what's more, there's a dance that goes with this song. So at the end of the song, because you're going to be going out, I thought that we would maybe all join together and dance round the church as we sing You Shall Go Out with Joy before you go out with joy and be led forth in peace down to Jigsaw. Are you up for it? Come on! It's not only the minister that's daft, is it? Wonderful, thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Oh dear. Got a traffic jam up with you. Why weren't you up dancing?
You said I wasn't at you, did
you? Oh, sorry. Bye bye, beautiful. Lovely, thank you. Let us come before God in prayer. How long, O Lord? How long until we listen to your prophets crying out for justice and raise our voices in unison with them, standing together with those who struggle, resisting the unfair systems that keep countries and communities poor, challenging and changing the structures that have denied life for too long? Have mercy, O Lord, have mercy. How long, O Lord, how long, until we heed the words of Hannah and Mary, pregnant with the potential of your kingdom come, for the hungry to be filled with good things, for the rich to be sent away empty, for the poor to be raised up from the dust, for the proud to be brought low, and the needy lifted up from the ashes of grief. Have mercy, O Lord, have mercy. How long, O Lord, how long must you wait for hearts to turn towards you and to follow your paths that lead to fullness and joy in life? Forgive us our waywardness in thought and word and deed, and in what we have failed to do, and help us return to you today. Have mercy, O Lord, have mercy. We give thanks for your steadfast love that never ceases, your unending mercy, new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. In your name we pray. Amen. We now come to our Bible reading. The first is from Revelation, chapter 7, verses 9 to 17, and then John, chapter 10, verses 22 to 30.
The great multitude in white robes. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing round the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." From John's Gospel, chapter 10, reading from verse 22. The unbelief of the Jews. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered round him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe, because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Amen.
Thanks, Jean. Amen. And may God add his blessing to these readings from his holy word. Our hymn before the sermon is number 416, Christ is Alive, Let Christians Sing, and we'll sing it to the tune Duke Street, which can be found at hymn 517, if anyone wants to follow the music as well. So words at 416, tune at 517. Let us pray. Lord, may the questions on our lips and the wonderings of our hearts lead us to a deeper trust in you, our maker, mender, and muse. Amen. You may have been confused by the title of my sermon because it could be pronounced in different ways, but it is Tears and Tears. Since the beginning of January this year, especially, there have been a lot of tears here in Forth. And sadly, these tears continue as more of our loved ones are torn away from us by death. But as we just sang, Christ is alive and comes to bring good news to this and every age. The wonderful benefit we have is that we believe in the resurrection, in new life, new beginnings, both during and after life here on earth. I met with a family yesterday afternoon who have suffered a bereavement, and one of them said, I don't know if I can believe in God anymore if he allows something like this to happen. And I thought about that. And then I thought, what if we turn that question round and say, how can we cope with what happens if we don't believe in God? If we don't have that wonderful reassurance that death is not the end. John writes of his vision in the book of Revelation, and it's a revelation that brings not only hope for the future, but also a vision of how God wants his world to be. John was writing Revelation at a time when the Roman Empire was advancing, seeking more and more political and economic power. And to get it, the Romans demanded that their own emperors and traditional gods were worshipped. But John was providing another way, the way of worshipping God. The scenes he described provided encouragement to the early churches to directly challenge the powers that would suppress the kingdom of God. And surely these words bring encouragement for us today. The visions of Revelation have been captured or attempted to be captured by artists over the centuries. This is just one painting, trying to capture the enormity and the variety of those people around the throne. In both his vision of the throne room of Revelation 7 that Jean read for us, and in seeing the new heaven and the new earth in Revelation chapter 21, John draws our attention to God wiping away every tear from the eyes of those who have suffered. Revelation 7, they will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And we see echoes of Psalm 23 in that reading as well. And then Revelation 21. See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. These words have brought comfort in many funerals. And as Christian Aid encourages us today to think about Sierra Leone, can we begin to imagine how these words might bring comfort to the thousands who were bereaved by the devastation of the Ebola outbreak in Sierra Leone between 2014 and 2016. And the death in that country hasn't ended. So we pray that these words will also bring comfort for those who lose loved ones and babies in childbirth at an alarming rate, even today. For Sierra Leone is the most dangerous place in the world to become a mum due to the lack of healthcare facilities. Christian Aid provides some wonderful materials to help us understand, and I'm going to share with you the story of Jebe Kone. And this is her picture. Jebe Kone is one of the kindest people you will ever meet. She has a warm smile and a motherly touch. But her life has been incredibly tough. Recently, Jebe's sister, Fatmata, was pregnant in a nearby village. When she went into labor, there were so few ambulances that Fatmata had no choice but to walk for 3 hours under the baking sun to the nearest hospital. The road was long and she struggled to keep walking. With every step, Fatmata feared for her life and the life of her baby. Jebe told us, "My sister was crying out. She died on the side of the road. She never gave birth. No woman should die in childbirth. But for Jebe, this wasn't just any woman. This was her sister, her strength, her comfort, her own family. And Jebe herself, as you can see, is heavily pregnant. As her baby grows, it's not joy that fills her heart, but fear. Pregnancy should be a time of joy, not a time of fear. Instead of buying new baby clothes with her limited finances, Jebe has instead spent them to go to her sister's burial. Instead of excitement and joy, she feels pain and sorrow. She cries, and we cry with her. This Christian Aid Week, with our support, Christian Aid can continue working alongside communities like Jebe's to build bigger, better health centres. Just £300 could provide a delivery bed and mattress for a new health centre, ensuring that mums can deliver their babies safely and live long and happy lives. And the tears of Jebe will be wiped away. In a country like Sierra Leone, where 10 women die every day in childbirth, John's vision declares that there will be no more death, no more mourning. So let's imagine heaven on earth, where every tear will be wiped away from our eyes, every single tear. John's vision of heaven allows us to look at life on earth in a new light. The heavenly visions of Revelation show us how God wants things to be. And this is what we're asking for every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, when we say, "Your will be done, your kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven." And this, of course, is also the prayer that we're supporting in the Thy Kingdom Come prayer initiative. John shares this vision of heaven, not only so that we can hope for the future, but so that we can be inspired by a vision of how God wants the world to be. This Christian Aid Week, we get to participate in bringing that vision of heaven to earth. With every envelope we give or fill up, every big brekkie we provide, serve, or eat, every cake, every quiz we buy, all of these are an opportunity to enter into helping this vision of heaven on earth to be realized. So let's all come along early next Sunday morning for our big brekkie. It's a wonderful opportunity to share a meal together, as well as raising money for Christian Aid. And don't forget to go down to the hall after church and buy your cakes. And there are quizzes and envelopes at the back of the church. Christian Aid, as well as addressing the practical needs in Sierra Leone, is also calling on the Chancellor of the Exchequer to help ensure that all of Sierra Leone's debts, which come from the loans it received for fighting the Ebola virus, are written off, and to take urgent action to prevent any new debt crises in developing countries and tackle them when they arise. So this Christian Aid Week, as well as a vision of all tears being wiped away, we are calling out for a tearing up of Sierra Leone's Ebola debt. For then, the government of Sierra Leone will be able to afford to start improving healthcare facilities. But for each of us here in church today, what do we need to tear up in order for the kingdom to come in our lives? Anything, that is preventing us from opening our hearts and minds to God's love and God's kingdom. Anything that is preventing us from becoming a channel of God's peace and love, so that that kingdom, where every tear is wiped away by God, will come on earth. Amen. We now continue our worship with the giving of our offerings. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for your abundant generosity to us, for all the many riches that we enjoy and all the ones that we take for granted. Lord, with thankful hearts, we bring our worship today, our lives, and these our offerings, and lay them at the foot of your cross. And Lord, we ask you to use them all for the growth of your kingdom here on earth, in forth and throughout the world. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Hymn 528, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving, living God, it is with joy that we give thanks for Christian Aid Week, for all who give their time and talent to make it happen, enabling each one of us to be a witness to the risen hope of Jesus in our communities, and to each play our small part in helping your kingdom come here on earth. We give thanks for the improving weather, for our National Health Service, who provide us with an excellent standard of care. We give thanks for all pregnant mums and those with young babies. May we bless them and treasure them, especially as we think of the many mums and babies who lose their lives in childbirth in Sierra Leone. Loving, living God, as each day passes, we are caught up with wonder and surprise at all you continue to bring to life. For even in the deepest moments of regret and fear, you call us to step out in faith, trusting that we never walk alone. We pray for the church, set in every corner of the world, to witness to the gospel of Christ's healing and renewing love. We thank you for our own congregation here in Forth, and for the sanctuary of this place, its walls echoing with the sound of praise and prayer from all who have supported and served it faithfully down through the years. As in our own lives, we seek to love you with heart and mind and soul and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself, help us keep bright the flame of Christian hope, faith, and love to the glory of your name and the advancement of your kingdom. God of compassion, hold in your tender care those people known to us whose home and family life have been overshadowed by accident or illness, people undergoing treatment or recovering from surgery, those suffering depression or dementia, and their families who watch and wait with them, and for all who are mourning a loved one's passing. We pray this morning for the families and friends of John Stark, Marilyn Sinclair, and Peter Stimson. God of the resurrection, grant us ears to discern your voice, guiding us to the places where we should be and nourishing us with the food that restores our souls. Loving, living God, wipe away every tear from every eye. Lord, you are present with us wherever we are, and you know what we are going through. May we trust you and commit ourselves to you in such a way that your risen life surges through our beings and we become alive with your life and love. Amen. Returning to the shepherd theme, which is such a beautiful way of describing God's love for us, Let's sing our closing hymn, number 462, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. So as we go out into the week ahead, may we be open to being channels of God's peace and love until his kingdom comes here on earth. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain with each and every one of us, those we love, those who love us, and those we struggle to love, both now and forevermore.